The Lord be with you.
With your
spirit. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Matthew. Jesus again in reply spoke to the chief priests and the elders of the people, speaking in parables. He said, "The kingdom of heaven may be likened to a king who gave a wedding feast for his son. He dispatched his servants to summon the invited guests to the feast, but they refused to come. A second time he sent other servants, saying, 'Tell those invited, behold, I have prepared my banquet. My calves and fatted cattle are killed, and everything is ready. Come to the feast.' Some ignored the invitation and went away, one to his farm and another to his business. The rest laid hold of his servants, mistreated them, and killed them. The king was enraged and sent his troops, destroyed the murderers, and burned their city. And then he said to his servants, 'The feast is ready, but those who were invited were not worthy to come. Go out, therefore, into the main roads and invite to the feast whomever you find.' And the servants went out into the streets, and they gathered all they found, bad and good alike, and the hall was filled with guests." The Gospel of the Lord. This is a very interesting gospel, and it's attached to that first reading, which comes from the prophet Isaiah. And I'd like to just reflect on it for a few moments. I'll try not to be too long. But there are four parts to what I'd like to suggest. The first part deals with the Old Testament, the Semitic tradition of meals. And the second, the Gospel of Matthew, the text we have today. The third section will deal with the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 14, the parallel to this text we have from Matthew. And the last, how this applies to our lives. Now that sounds very long, but I'll try to keep it brief. Simone Weil, who died in 1943, an extraordinary young woman. She was just 35 when she died. And she had this to say about people in their condition of life. "The danger is not lest the soul should doubt that there is any bread, but by a lie the soul should be persuaded that it is not hungry. And the world will persuade us that if we envelop ourselves in the things of the world, we will famish the hunger of our spirits." So let me look at this. In the Semitic tradition, the notion of a meal had great, great significance, much more than a meal in our culture. In the Semitic tradition, nobody ever discussed the menu. We only discussed the guests. Now we go to restaurants and I'll pick this one because the food is good, or I like that food. You'll find nothing about that in the Semitic tradition. You'll find that who was invited to the meal became the subject of conversation and the subject of teaching. The second thing about the Semitic tradition is that if you were invited to a meal and somebody broke bread with you, you were invited, even your conservative Jewish friends today, if they invite you into their little sanctuary, the Mikdat Me'ash, if they invite you in there, it's a sign of a close bond, something that words cannot quite express, but it means there's a bond, there's a relationship, far more than the casual ways in which we share meals. So go back into the Semitic tradition and you'll find that sharing a meal, Jesus sharing a meal, meant something very significant at the time that might escape our attention now. So that's some background. The Gospel of Matthew comes late, way after the fall of Jerusalem in the year 70. And what Matthew has done, being a Jewish gospel, he sets this contest between Jesus and the Pharisees and the elders, the priests. He sets it in the temple, chapter 22 in Matthew's gospel. And here there is a tension, and Matthew gives a kind of a homiletic allegory to the original teaching of Jesus. And he adds things to it, and he flavors it, and he puts it into context for his church somewhere maybe around the year 100. And therefore he has the king, which is God, and his son, Jesus Christ, and they rejected Jesus Christ, they rejected the prophets, the Hebrew prophets and the Christian prophets, and therefore they're not worthy to come to the meal in the kingdom. And the people of Israel rejected Jesus, therefore they're not worthy to come to the meal. And the king, in rage, will destroy their city. He's referring clearly to the destruction of Jerusalem in the year 70. So we have to somehow investigate in a scholarship way the text of Matthew's gospel in order to get to the essential message. And most scholars will say the essential message is far clearer when it appears in the Gospel of Luke. It doesn't appear in the other two Gospels. So now looking at Luke, Luke chapter 14. Jesus has three teachings at a meal. Eugene Leverdier, this illustrious scholar, has a book called Dining in the Kingdom, and he emphasizes that Luke's gospel has many meals. Maybe he counts 10 meals. Depends on how you count. It could be 9, 10, it might be more, but there's certainly 10 meals in the life of Jesus appearing in the Gospel of Luke. And all of these meals, they all have teachings. And in this text here, in chapter 14, the text has to do with who is invited to the kingdom. It begins by somebody saying to Jesus, "Blessed is the one who dines in the kingdom." And then Jesus goes on to tell this story. But he has only one servant going out to summon them, and the master of the house who has the feast does not destroy the city, but he goes out into the highways and the byways. He invites the lame, the blind, the crippled, the poor. They're the ones who get invited to the meal, because they are the ones who are hungry. The first ones invited to the meal were not hungry. They were distracted. They had many things going on in their lives. That may well happen to us. We don't always hunger for the Eucharist. It's a presumption. We just receive the Eucharist. Until we meet somebody who is excluded from the Eucharist, and then you'll find out they have this deep hunger for the Eucharist. So Jesus is saying here to us, when you are in darkness, when things go against you, when you encounter failure, when sin overwhelms you, when life is full of conflicts, when you're questioning things, when some of the happenings of the church bewilder you, when your life is empty, you're not sure where you're going, you're questioning things, you're doubting even the most fundamental things in your life, your deep relationships have betrayed you, something has fallen apart, you lost your job, your life is in chaos. Now you begin to hunger for some deeper understanding of your life. It's happened to me in my own life. I've walked through darkness, difficult times, times of conflict, questioning, wondering, doubting, gone through all that, and all I had to cling to was the meal, the Eucharist. Now, some people will say, well, I won't go to Mass anymore. I can't say that. can't get up some day and say, I'm not going to go to Mass anymore because I don't like Holy Family. Or the priest said something to me and I don't like it. Or I don't, it just, the music isn't okay, or the homilies aren't okay. I'm not going to go. I can't do that. The Mass is my life. The Eucharist is the food of life. And you'll find that when you're struggling in your life, when things don't come together for you, you'll begin to hunger for the Eucharist. And now you are invited. You will hear the invitation now. You may not have heard it when you were prosperous, when everything was good and everything was perfect. You now become the blind, the lame, the poor, the struggling people of life. And now you qualify. Not because you're holy, not because you're perfect, but precisely because you're not holy and you're imperfect and you're struggling in your life, and somebody has told you don't qualify. Somebody has told you don't fit in. There isn't a place for you in the church. You're not holy enough. You're not observant enough. You don't use the envelopes, whatever it is. There isn't a place for you. And yet, the teaching of Jesus, the essential teaching of this parable, is your hunger is the moment in which you will hear the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to the meal. The meal being a place of community, a place of belonging, a place where you will find others who are just like you. You'll find the priest who is just like you. It doesn't look that way, like he looks holy and all that, but the priest is just like you. We're all on the same journey. So listen to the teaching of Jesus, especially here. Go read chapter 14 in the Gospel of Luke. And you'll find the essential, substantial teaching of Jesus here, saying, if you're blind, you're poor, you're struggling with some sin, some addiction in your life, you're struggling with some alienation, some doubt, some poverty, some emptiness, you're lame, you're blind, you're outside, hear the invitation of Jesus Christ. Come to the meal. Let Jesus Christ feed your spirit, console you, heal you, lift up your spirit, give you a new vision, a new understanding, a new acceptance of the things which are happening to you, the inner strength to live, not always to solve the problem, but to belong to the problem, to live with it, to carry the cross, to share real life. When you share real life, you will hear the invitation of Jesus Christ to come to the meal, be fed, be refreshed, be renewed. Amen.